तस्मै श्री गुरवे श्री चैतन्य मनोवृष्ठं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदं मम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल वी वेलकम यू फॉर टुडेज संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम। आई थैंक स्पेशली श्रीराम प्रभु फॉर हिज काइंड इंट्रोडक्शन ऑफ मायसेल्फ। So based on the drama what you saw, the theme of today's lecture was what we had selected is speaking on the verse number 3 and 4 of Shikshashtak. Before I begin, I seek all the blessings of all the senior devotees who are sitting here. And the third verse, we know that it speaks about humility. तृणादपि सुनीचेन तरोरिव सहिष्णुन अमानेन मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदाहरि विच वी सॉ इन केस ऑफ श्रीधर कोलवेज। एंड द फोर्थ वर्स स्पीक्स अबाउट न धनम न जनम न सुंदरीम कवितान व जगदीश गमय विच ऑल्सो वी सॉ इन द ड्रामा व्हेन लॉर्ड चैतन्य वॉज ऑफरिंग हिम दैट वेदर यू वॉन्ट ब्यूटिफुल वुमेन वेदर यू वॉन्ट वेल्थ ही सेड नो आई डोंट वॉन्ट। So let us discuss about this. Lord Krishna, all of us know, spoke the Bhagavad Gita, which has 750 verses. Now for us to study 750 verses is very difficult for this Kali Yuga brain. To by heart them is very difficult. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation for this age, the Yuga avatar, he concise the whole message to 8 verses. Because all of us, you know, like notes. During the exams, we used to always, before the exam, nobody reads textbook in India. This is a trend. Nobody reads a textbook. Everybody keeps on searching. Do you have any material? And somebody offers you a book. You said, no, I don't want book. Something short, very sweet, short. So Lord Chaitanya knows this, that people in this Kali Yuga have this mentality of notes, short thing, photocopy, Xerox. So he just composed only 8 verses, which I think most of us have by heart. Now this third verse, which speaks about humility, it's something which we hear in ISKCON only, that one should be humble than a blade of grass, one should be tolerant like a tree, one should be ready to offer all respects to other and expect none in return. This is a message, if you go outside and speak on the road, people will not understand. It will not penetrate their brain. Because nobody teaches this. Right? And before my lecture only I announced that most of the times during my lecture I visit Bollywood. Because I came to Mumbai with lot of aspirations in that field and somehow landed in Radha Gopinath Temple. So why people don't understand humility is because the samskaras are not done in the temple, the samskaras are done in the movie theater nowadays. The philosophy of our life is from our childhood is taught in the movie theater. Have you seen any movie on humility where the hero is humble than a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, is offering respect to others? In hero of the Bollywood, there is only one thing, or in those movies, revenge. You know, the first 15-20 minutes or half an hour of the movie, the hero is tortured, his father is killed, his mother is killed, and then whole life he doesn't practice forgiveness. He just practices revenge. And that had some impression on our mind because we have seen hundreds of such movies, so what happens is we have an impression on our mind that somebody tortures you, eat ka jawab patthar se denge. Everybody is bad. So there, no, you don't see a hero like Trinadapi Sunjay, that okay, he has, I forgive him for, maybe, have you heard a hero saying something like that, maybe in my past life I have killed his parents, so he has killed mine in this life. No, nothing of such a thing, because there something happens and immediately there is fight. A few months back I was told to give this Prerna lecture, how Cupid made us stupid, how Cupid made me stupid. So it was a very personal lecture for me, where I spoke about how this movie is, they, you know, completely make us crazy, and all those wrong things which we learn there. Like for example, the whole of the love story what we see there is, it normally starts in the library where the hero and heroine collide with each other and books fall. That is where love starts. Now, let me tell you, I have working in a medical college for last 20 years, I have never collided with anyone with so many books. And our library, the first notice I see is one book will be issued at one time. I keep on thinking how this heroine comes out with 10 books and then collects. And if by any chance if you collide with somebody and the books fall down, there is no love. Let me tell you. You have to escape from there. You have to pick up your books or leave your books there only and run away from there. Don't expect that something like love happens when you collide with somebody. Okay, that love happens. And then there is marriage. And most of the times they show in one song only the marriage, and then there are kids and they are playing with the kids. You know, the whole grihastha ashram is such a tapasya, you know, to go through, to raising the kids, you know, their vaccination, taking them to the, their all, their urinal habits and everything. And they just show how happily things are happening. I tell an incident where on this 26-11, when we were celebrating, having a satsang at Srinathji Prabhu's house, and suddenly we start hearing bombs blasting and some sound that there is disturbance, and then there was a news that there is a terrorist attack on Mumbai. And then, you know, everybody stayed back, but at 1:30 in the night, I decided that let me go back home. And when my car came down to Kem's Corner and near Bhatia Hospital, when I reached there, I realized that my car was the only car on the road. And at Bhatia Hospital, there were 20 policemen standing like this with their guns pointing towards my car. So I slowed down. By God's grace, I had some intelligence. I didn't panic. I slowed down. And then the inspector knocked the glass with his loaded gun, and then I put the window down, and then he started looking who was sitting behind. My mother-in-law and wife was there, and as he was looking behind, his loaded gun was here near my head. I was seeing the bullets. And I was thinking, if he sneezes by mistake. And then everything is over. No point in saying sorry or... Shriram Prabhu was telling that I come to the temple every day. Almost this I am doing for last 18 years. Even when there was that rains in Mumbai somewhere in 2005, on 25th of July, that day I came almost swimming to the temple and I went back walking. So much I was firm of coming to the temple every day, but after that incident happened with that gun here, 8 days I didn't come out of my house. 8 days I said, I don't want to go to the temple, because that, you know, when I used to sleep in the night, that gun used to come in front. This is, I don't know, any one of you have come across this where somebody has a gun here, near your forehead. And in our Bollywood movies, they show that hero, there is gun, the villain is putting the gun on the hero, and then the hero, you know, takes some dust from below and throws in the villain's eye. You cannot think of anything like this, I'll tell you. I was just cold. When the policeman said, now you can go, I was like, I was telling him, can you drive me, because my hands and legs were shaking. So all such wrong things, and then the hero is running and there are 15-20 people who are firing and the bullet doesn't hit him. Now when this 1992 riots happened in Mumbai, that time I was studying at JJ Hospital and I had gone to KEM Hospital to see a fashion show. Of course, I had come from a very small town like Satara, and I was seeing that fashion show for first time. I was like, it was a cultural shock for me. But what happened after that was shocking, because that day the Babri Masjid was brought down. And in the night when I took a taxi after the fashion show, I realized that after the Bhaikala Bridge, ours was the only taxi on the road, because that road used to be crowded throughout the night. And when the taxi wala dropped us at JJ Hospital, there was nobody on the road. And I could see all the building, all those Muslim ladies, they were like looking at us like this. Now what is going to happen to these three fellows? They were scared, like they were praying for us. I suddenly realized, why Muslims are praying for us, you know, so many of them. They were like doing like this. Now imagine if you are standing below a building and 20-25 people are doing like this. Oh Allah, isko bachao, Allah isko. Then I realized that there must have been some riot here. And then we looked around here and there, there was nobody on the road, and some people, you know, with some swords long, at a long distance. And then I started running. Went to the gate of the hospital to realize that the gate was closed. And when your legs are shaking, you cannot climb on the gate. You cannot run also. Somehow I managed to go. I realized that the mortuary gate must be open. I went there. And as I was running inside the campus, I realized I was stepping over 100 bodies which were lying there, who were victims of the riot. So all of you must be thinking that, like I always think, say that whenever something wrong happens in Mumbai, I am outside. That does not mean I am linked to it, but somehow, somehow it happens. Then I reached the campus, my legs were shaking. So what I'm telling you is, all these wrong things which we see where 10-15 people are shooting and the hero is running, nobody can run. They cannot even stand, I'll tell you. It's difficult to stand in one place when people are firing at you. Forget about running. So such wrong things they show. Another wrong thing I'll tell you is, this is the last scene of the movie. Suppose there are two heroines or two heroes, whatever it is. And then one of them is destined to die, right? One of them has to die. And then the villain is, you know, trying to shoot the heroine. Suppose there are two heroines. The second heroine sees it and goes running after the bullet is shot and comes in between last minute like this. Now what is the speed of the bullet? What is speed of our running? And then how many of you will run? Firstly tell me, is there anyone here, if somebody is getting shot, you will go in between and stand like this? At least I will not. Today Shyamanand Prabhu was telling in the Bhagavatam that how we value our life. We want to, you know, finish our Krishna consciousness and want to go back to God. Okay, after the bullet is hit, they start speaking. On the deathbed, they start speaking. In the whole Bollywood, one thing I have seen, nobody dies in coma. Even if they are in coma, last minute they will get up, say something and die. This never happens. In real life, I am a doctor working in KEM hospital. Hundreds and thousands of coma cases I have seen. I have never seen a coma person getting up, speaking something. And what they speak, it's not that they tell of, they think that they tell that I am near death, I have realized that this life is useless, please chant Hare Krishna. No, they will not say something. They will tell of something nonsense. You have one more mother, you have one more brother. They talk about all their illicit affairs while dying. None of them, you know, while dying, the experience what we get is, you know, we realize that life is, whatever I did in life, except for devotional service, was a useless thing. It was useless. And that is what people realize when they are about to die. I have this, in front of our KM hospital, you have this Tata Cancer Hospital. And every day in the morning when I go to collect flowers for the temple, I see those patients with, you know, the tubes going through their nose or tubes going through their mouth. And one thing I just think in my mind that for them it's the end of the world. Now if I ask them that, do you know what happened yesterday in the FIFA World Cup or a cricket match or what is happening in the Bollywood or Hollywood, they say no, the world is now going to end in 6 months for them. So realizing that at the time of death all these things are useless, why don't we give it up when we are healthy? So talking about this verse, Trinadapi Sunichenu, where, let us see how Lord Chaitanya himself followed this in his life. Lord Chaitanya was so humble before his mother that when he took sannyas and Lord Nityananda tricked him and brought him to Shantipur at Advaita Acharya's house, where his mother Sachimata was waiting for him. And the words which Lord Chaitanya says to his mother, he offers his obeisances and he says, this body belongs to you. The Supreme Lord says to his mother, I do not possess anything. I cannot repay this debt. Wherever you ask, I will stay. Whatever you ask, I will execute. These are the dialogues directly from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord becomes so humble before his mother. By his humility, he, you know, converted the Mayavadis of Varanasi into pure devotees. Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya were two devotees who were staying in Varanasi. And when they met Lord Chaitanya, now, you know, Varanasi, which nowadays has become very famous because of elections. You know, people, there are some places like Vrindavan, till you come to ISKCON, you never realize that actually there is a place, Vrindavan, near Mathura station. You know, most of you must have had this experience. Even Google, you type Vrindavan, it comes Vrindavan Garden, Bangalore first. Then it, of course, Google is a, I don't want to talk too much about Google. Once I was about to give a lecture, I was typing 12 Mahajans and the name came was Pramod Mahajan, Praveen Mahajan, Poonam Mahajan. So for devotees, it is a useless thing. So Varanasi also, Kashi, Kashi, used to hear that Kashi, there was a Brahmin in Kashi, there was a king of Kashi. But actually there is a place, and thanks to our Prime Minister, that because of him, Varanasi became so famous nowadays. But there are these two devotees staying in Varanasi. We feel they are so fortunate staying near the Ganga. But what is their understanding? They say that because of our past misdeeds we are here, they say to Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. Because here we, in this city, we are hearing only two words, Maya and Brahman. because there were all, it was full of Mayavadis. And there was one Maharashtrian Brahmin, only one representative of all the Maharashtrians who's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His name is not there. Because we have a tendency, na, all Maharashtrians, we love Tukaram Maharaj because he is Maharashtrian. Because that is how it is a bodily platform actually. We don't love Mirabai so much. Or we don't like Surdas so much. Surdas, somebody tells us something about Surdas and this. We say, okay, there may be some sin. But Tukaram, immediately the Maharashtrian love comes. So maybe Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was knowing this. So he said there was one Maharashtrian Brahmin. He didn't write his name. So, in the Charitanya Charitamrita, so many places it is written, that Maharashtrian Brahmin, that he talked with the Lord Chaitanya. Maybe because of him, all of us have become devotees here. So he, in front of Prakashanand Saraswati, he glorified Lord Chaitanya. He said, Lord Chaitanya is, you know, he is the golden avatar, he chants the holy name, there are tears from his eyes. And Prakashananda Saraswati, because he was a Mayavadi, he didn't realize that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. And Prakashananda Saraswati said that Chaitanya is a magician. So this Maharashtrian Brahmin goes to Lord Chaitanya. He said, I explained so many things about you to Prakashananda Saraswati. And he just said that Chaitanya, he didn't address you as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. At least if he could have addressed you as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, I would have been happy because he chanted Krishna's name. But he said, that Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya gave a very nice answer. He said, he is a Mayavadi. And because he is a Mayavadi, he cannot chant the name of Krishna. And then further Lord Chaitanya says, one cannot chant the name of Krishna with contaminated senses. If our senses are contaminated, we cannot chant. We hear the glories of the holy name, that once if you chant the holy name, we'll be delivered. But Lord Chaitanya says, but not with contaminated senses. So, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya became very unhappy. They said, we'll give up our life. We don't want to hear the blasphemy about Lord Chaitanya. But this Maharashtrian Brahmin was very hopeful. He said, if they see Lord Chaitanya once, maybe they can arrange their meeting. They will see Lord Chaitanya and then they will become devotees. He says that he doesn't think of giving life. He says, giving up life. He says, instead of living in depression, I get depressed when people criticize Lord Chaitanya. Instead, I'll just try to get their meeting done. It is like Lord Chaitanya inspired him from the heart. Lord Chaitanya, when he gave me the idea that I'll call Prakashananda Saraswati and all the Mayavadis at my home. Now Lord Chaitanya, who is so strict, who says Mayavadya Bhashuna Hail Sarvanash, your all devotion will be destroyed. This Lord Chaitanya agrees to the proposal. Because he said, I have come here to Varanasi to sell and nobody is buying my product. So I will come to give them glove of Godhead. And all of us know the story. That is what the point I am trying to bring in is his humility. Just by his humility, he converted these Mayavadis into devotees. When all Mayavadis were sitting, Lord Chaitanya enters there, attracts them by his effulgence, and then sits near the feet washing area. For us also, when we were the place where people are washing feet, nobody sits there. But the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya, he wants to give his mercy and for that he is ready to do anything. He is ready to sit in a contaminated area just to win the hearts of the Mayavadis. And that, when that happened, Prakashananda Saraswati goes near him and lifts him, gives him a hand and brings him and makes him sit on an asana. So that small service he rendered to Lord Chaitanya. And then he tells Lord Chaitanya that why don't you read Shankaracharya's literature? And Lord Chaitanya says, I am from a very lower sannyas order from Bharati Sampradaya. And he says, Guru Mora Murkha Dekhi. My Guru said that you are a fool. You just chant the holy name. And he said, my guru told me, always chant the holy name and aim at the pancham purusharth, that is the love of God, and not dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And then he talks about how you developed ecstasy just by following the instructions of the spiritual master. He taught them that how Brahman happiness is like a canal and devotional service is like an ocean. Prakashananda Saraswati got converted just by seeing Lord Chaitanya's humility and the humility with which he was speaking. This is how we are supposed to preach. One of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, he tells how we should preach. We normally have a tendency to say that you are in Maya, you don't understand, you are illusion. He said, never say like this. Whenever you are preaching to anyone, tell him that you are such a nice person. You are so good, so nice. And if you chant Hare Krishna, why, you know, that will be so nice. So that person also feels connected. And after few days, Prakashananda Saraswati was chanting and he was criticizing Shankaracharya. And then this Maharashtrian Brahmin goes running to Lord Chaitanya to tell him. Even in case of the Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who was not ready to accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord, you know, this Gopinath Acharya, everybody was criticizing that this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he is a Mayavadi. And Lord Chaitanya, his lines are that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has showed me great affection. He wants to protect me. When Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya told him that I'll teach you Sharira Ka Bhasha, Lord Chaitanya says, you are merciful, let me follow your order. And heard him for 8 days. Just to make him a devotee, you know, sometimes when we are preaching, we are so convinced about our philosophy and we are so convinced that this non-devotee is speaking nonsense, that whenever he tries to speak anything, we cut him. No. You listen to me. I know the supreme truth. Just listen to me. We try to cut off the conversation. That person tries to tell us, no, I also follow this sampradaya, I go here. No. Everything is nonsense. Just, this is Krishna consciousness. No, here is an example of how to preach Krishna consciousness. Where Lord Chaitanya, you know, he 8 days he just listens, doesn't speak a word. And after 8 days he starts his preaching. You know, after 8 days, by then, you know, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya got connected with him. This is the advantage of listening. You know, when I take seminars on communication skills and conflict management, one of the component is listening. Like one son wanted to tell something to his father when father was, you know, having his meal. So he said, father, listen. Son, the father said, shut up. No speaking while having meal. He said, please listen, I have to tell you something. No. Having in between again, listen. He said, no talking while eating. I think this must be the rule in most of the house. He said, listen, just shut up. After the meal, he gets his son. So what were you trying to tell me? Listen. The father says, actually there was a cockroach in your meal, you know. So I was just trying to tell you, don't eat it. By that time you had dissected and it had... So this is the importance of listening in time. Sometimes you have to just listen. It may be somebody junior to us. Srila Prabhupada also, you know, displayed his humility. There was one person called Allen Ginsberg, and this Allen Ginsberg, when he was a kind of a person who used to chant Hare Krishna also, go at other places also, and had lot of allegations on him. So in confrontation with the media, once one media person asked Srila Prabhupada that, are you Allen's guru? Now this was such a loaded question. If Srila Prabhupada said yes, then everybody would say that, see, this Allen Ginsberg is involved in so many illicit activities or other activities which are not concerned with Krishna consciousness. If he says no, then Allen, who had just started following Krishna consciousness, would have heard. And all devotees, they looked at Prabhupada, that what Prabhupada is going to answer? Are you Allen's guru? And Srila Prabhupada said, I am nobody's guru. I am servant of the whole world. Now this is a pure devotee. This does not come by planning such sentences. These sentences, they come out of our lips and from our heart only when we are always in that mood. And Srila Prabhupada was always in that mood that I am servant of the whole world. So he showed this Trinadapi. Now normally devotees think that Lord Chaitanya has taught us four things, that Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Riva Sahishnuna Amanena Manadena and Kirtaniya Sadahari, that always chant. No. Actually, if we fulfill the first three conditions, that we remain humble than a blade of grass, we become tolerant like a tree, we offer our respects to others and expect none in return. If we follow the first three things, only then we can follow the fourth thing, and that is Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari is an instruction, but it automatically comes into practice if we follow the first three things. Because if we are not humble, if we are not tolerant, and if we expect some respect in return, we'll be thinking of all these three things while chanting, and therefore we'll not be able to chant. So to chant continuously, we have to follow. It's our dream, like all of us dream, that I keep on chanting and remembering Krishna. Chanting does not mean always that chanting on beats. After our 16 rounds are done, still we can remember Krishna. But that doesn't happen, because you don't follow this. If that is not happening, that means we are not following the first three principles of remaining humble. So I was thinking of, you know, talking about this verse, how significant it is for the grihasthas, for the renounced order. Once I asked one devotee that what is the, like I was preparing for this devotee, what is the significance of this third verse for grihasthas? And I'll just tell you the answer. He said, before your husband and wife, you should be humble than a blade of grass. I said, okay. While dealing with your husband or wife, you should be tolerant like a tree. I said, good. You should offer all your respects to your husband or wife and expect none in return. Only then you can chant your 16 rounds peacefully. And actually, when we say charity begins at home, charity begins at home. We are so much tolerant sometimes when we are in the temple. I always give this example that all of us, when we enter through this security check of our temple inside, suddenly we become saints. You know, Haribol, we are smiling. And somebody, you know, pushes us. We said, Haribol, it's okay, that's fine. We have just become saintly people in the temple. It's okay, Prabhuji, it's okay. Somebody does it, it's okay. And the moment we go out of the gate, and then with our wife or anybody does something, we just shout and scream and at our home. No, that way it will not work. We cannot have this duplicitous behavior. Charity begins at home. So for following this Trinadapi principle, we have to follow it at our home, while dealing with our children, while dealing with our parents. How we deal with our parents as in the grihastha ashram? Suppose parents are not devotees. Some devotees, sometimes they don't behave properly. They just don't consider, you know, any of their desires. They may say that movie dekhna hai, then, you know, we just, you know, shun it down, saying, no, this is all maya, this is illusion, no. For them, they have raised us. Actually, we deal with them very nicely. Then only they will take up to Krishna consciousness. I had this personal experience where with my mother, I used to call her when she used to arrange for preaching programs. I used to call her that, did that preacher come? Did you serve meal? Okay, did he go? Did he board the bus? So after 1 year, my mother asked me that, in last 1 year, you never asked me that, how are you? Did you have your meal? Did you ever ask me? And then I realized that, yes, I have done some mistake. In my fanaticism and I just crossed all the limits. And The importance of the parents we understand when we have children. After I had a child and I was going through all her illness and vaccination and all the babysitting, I realized that all my mother has done for me. And now, sometimes she tells me that I want to see this movie. I don't join her, but I drop her and get her back, and then she's so happy that when I tell her chant, she's already chanting 1, 2, 3 rounds, 4 rounds. So anything sometimes material which is not grossly breaking the 4 regulative principles, you know, if we take care of them nicely, they will also take up to Krishna consciousness, and by chanting they will get detached. They will not just get detached by our philosophy what we speak. For a grahastha, the trunadapi application is, he automatically actually becomes humble by all these circumstances which he has to go through. At workplace, he has to follow this principle of trunadapi. He cannot shout. We cannot have a tilak on our forehead and keep on shouting at everyone. We have to remain humble at many places. For renounced order, the trinadapi is a challenge, because a brahmachari has to remain humble in front of all the three ashrams. For sannyasis, it is a big challenge, because everybody offers so many respects to them. And in such a state also to remain humble. Therefore you see the sannyasis in ISKCON, the spiritual masters which are there in ISKCON, how even while sitting on the Vyasasana, they are in a mood of service. They said, as your humble servant, I am sitting here and giving the lecture. The next principle here is Taro Riva Sahishnu, that one has to become tolerant like a tree. Now, Lord Chaitanya himself exhibited this principle in case of while dealing with Ramchandra Puri. Rather, he exhibited the whole third verse, Trunadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna Amanena Manadena. He offered all respects to Ramchandra Puri and expected none in return and tolerated him. Like when Lord Chaitanya was having his meal, Ramchandra Puri came there for the first time, and he said, how much a sannyasi is eating? Sannyasi is not supposed to eat so much. So Lord Chaitanya reduced his meal. Again Ramchandra Puri comes next day and he says, oh, there are some ants here. That means you are eating sugar candy, hiding from the world. So Lord Chaitanya stopped eating sugar, everything. And he just had 1/4 pot of Jagannath Prasad. Then Lord Chaitanya became skinny because of all this. Again Ramchandra Puri comes and he says, Sanyas, this dry renunciation what you are following, Lord Chaitanya, is not of any use. Because, just see how fault finding is there. And he is talking to Lord Chaitanya, he says, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Yukta Ahar Viharasya. Now it is Lord Chaitanya in the form of Lord Krishna who has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. And Ramchandra Puri is telling him that Yukta Ahar Viharasya, you have to follow this principle, don't eat too much and don't eat too less. What does Lord Chaitanya reply? Lord Chaitanya says, I am an ignorant boy. I am your disciple. It's my great fortune that you are instructing me. Just imagine the humility of Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord. He could have said, you fool, I am the one who spoke this verse 5000 years back, and you are reciting it back to me. No, and when devotees were criticizing Ramchandra Puri, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, why are you criticizing him? He is doing so good for me. Srila Prabhupada, he showed this tolerance. And if Srila Prabhupada had not shown this tolerance, rather, our ISKCON would have never flourished in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in the Western world, there were so many hippies who used to come drunk, who used to be high on drugs, and they used to come to the temple. Now imagine some person like this comes in the temple right now. Will we be able to tolerate? Srila Prabhupada, or he comes and sits here in front of me, I will not be able to give a lecture. For me, a smallest disturbance in the class, I just get distracted and I cannot speak. And Srila Prabhupada used to give his lectures and pravachans with people doing illicit activities in front of him and who were high on drugs and sitting in, because he showed his tolerance. Like once Garg Muni went to Srila Prabhupada and he said that, Srila Prabhupada, everybody in the temple is telling me that you have to take drugs if you want to remain high or you want to experience the highest level of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, the way he answered, he said, it's not mandatory to take drugs. Now just imagine the answer. If Srila Prabhupada would have said, no, this is wrong, who told you, who was that devotee, get him to me, they are all wrong, nobody, there's no need to take drugs, then Garga Muni Prabhu would have gone and told all of them that, see, Srila Prabhupada has told me there is no need to take drugs, you are all taking drugs, you are wrong. No. Srila Prabhupada wanted to extend himself for all of them. He said, no, it's not mandatory. Without drugs also you can experience Krishna consciousness. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada's answer and his presence of mind and his tolerance. The Jaladuta diary, in which once Srila Prabhupada, when he took his lecture, there were 6 people who attended the lecture. And all of them were drunk and on drugs. And Srila Prabhupada in the diary writes, today 6 people attended my lecture in New York. Krishna consciousness is spreading in the West like fire. You know, so hopeful. 6 people. You know, sometimes when you prepare for a lecture and temple hall is empty, you feel so bad that I have prepared so much and there is nobody to hear. Sridhama Prabhu was talking about my writing in the Back to Godhead magazine. It's very difficult to find time, and I sometimes get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and write an article and submit it before the deadline in the temple. And then I ask my family members that, did you read that article? And they said, no, which issue? My subscription, I think it is expired already. Ek saal se, I think I didn't renew it. I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I get up at 3 o'clock and I write article. Of course, I do it once in a month. Srila Prabhupada was doing it daily. Daily he was getting up at 12 o'clock and he was writing books. All these books which are displayed, they are written by him by getting up at 12 o'clock in the morning or night, whatever it is. And then when we don't read those books, how much pain he must be experiencing. Now, why tolerate? Lord Chaitanya says tolerate, but why to tolerate? Because most of the circumstances which we have to tolerate, I'll tell you a story of 3 men working in office. And they used to open their tiffin in the recess. And they saw that it is the same sabji which was there yesterday. And they said, why should we tolerate? And at the end of the week they realized that it's the same sabji their wife had served for the 7 days. And then they, you know, said, why should we tolerate this? If on this Monday it's the same sabji, we'll commit suicide. So 3 of them decided. And Monday, the first person opens his tiffin. He sees the same sabji. He closes his tiffin, goes to the window, jumps down. Second fellow opens, sees the same sabji which was there the whole last week, jumps. Third fellow sees it, he also jumps. And then on the 13th day, function, the 3 wives, you know, when they read the suicide note, and they said, the first wife, she said, if he would have told me, I would have changed the subject. What? It was not a big issue. Second wife also said the same thing, that he should have just told me, I don't like bengan ka sabji or karela maybe. The 2 wives were talking, the third said, actually I don't know why he committed suicide, because he was only cooking. So what I want to tell you is, we are cooking our own karma. or we have cooked our own karma. So we have to tolerate. We cannot commit suicide, which is actually just we cannot tolerate situations which have been created by our own activities in the past. A person cannot commit suicide saying that the sabji is repeated when the fact is that he only is cooking in the kitchen. So whatever is happening in our life is actually because of whatever we have cooked in the past. So we cannot just blame him or her for that. I tell a story of a person who was about to commit suicide because he was not able to tolerate. See, in general, if people follow this verse of becoming tolerant, they will be so peaceful. There will be no divorces, there will be no suicides, there will be no depression. But just because the tolerance level is so less. So one person was not able to tolerate failures in his life, so he decided to commit suicide. So he chose a spot on a hill. There are these points, this monkey point, that point. So he decided to jump from one of the points. So he goes there, parks his bike, goes to the point and sees down to just confirm whether after jumping whether he will die. You know, there is a difference, like we say that if somebody jumps from the 15th floor, it comes down like and when somebody jumps from the first floor, it is dup. So it should not happen that you try to commit suicide and you are unsuccessful. So that life is more hellish. So he confirms that when I jump from here, I'll die. And normally, people don't jump going on the edge. All of you must have learned swimming, and they used to tell us to jump in the swimming tank. We never stood at the edge and jumped. We come running, close our eyes, and then jump. So he also, you know, goes behind and takes a position. On your march, you know, gets there. And one beggar is sitting there. You know, he is observing everything, that he parks his bike, goes there, sits down. And for him, it must be some daily or monthly affair, that something like this. So when he says, on your march, gets, he says, oh, sorry, let come here now. Excuse me. Is it you're planning to jump? It's now at the time of death, whether, why should one lie? He said, yeah, I'm jumping. He said, that bike is yours? He said, yeah, bike is mine. See, now you are going down, so you don't need the bike, right? He said, yeah. He said, can you give me the keys? Again, he goes, takes position, on your march, gets set. And before, he says, excuse me, sir. Do you have a wallet in your pocket? He said, yeah. So now you are going down, you don't need wallet. He said, yeah. So he gives the wallet. Again, on your march, get set. He says, excuse me. Sorry, I just realized that you have a home here close. He said, yeah. So now you are going down, you don't need your room also. He said, yes. Again, last time, he said, takes position. He said, excuse me, sorry, sir. You are going down, so you don't, why do you need these clothes? See, I am sitting here in a gamcha. So you can give your clothes also. You are going down, you don't need the clothes. And then while he is removing his shirt, he looks at the beggar and he thinks that he doesn't have a bike, he doesn't have a room, he doesn't have a wallet, he doesn't have a money, and he is existing peacefully, blissfully in this world, and I have so many things with me and I am going down and he is sitting up. So as he's giving the shirt, he says, sorry, actually, can you give back the wallet and the keys? I realized I'm very happy. This happens when we don't see the positives in our life. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, coming to satsang, coming to the temple, when we hear lectures, we learn to see, we develop a vision. You know, people, when you tell them that I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for last 10 years, so then immediately they ask you, did you see God? No. What have you achieved? And suddenly such 5-6 questions, they come at such a speed that we feel like, you know, throwing away our neck beads and bead bag and everything. Because they ask these questions like a rapid fire, that. So we should be convinced, no, but I have developed a vision. I have developed a vision of how to remain satisfied in life, how to look towards the positives. You know, we have to understand that yes, I have so many things for which I have and for which I should thank Krishna. Once, if you don't have that vision, or if we don't have that vision, what happens is we have so many things and then we don't have one thing. And that one thing haunts us. You don't have that. You have everything, but you don't have that. And the life becomes miserable. And then that one thing makes us forget all the things which we have. Similarly, there is one story of a man who had decided to commit suicide, and he goes to a bridge and about to jump, he sees somebody dancing below. And he's dancing and then he's rolling on the ground. And rolling with such a speed that he feels that if I jump, I may fall upon him. So this happens consecutively for 3-4 days. So after these abortive attempts of suicide, he ultimately goes down. And he tells them, I'm trying to jump every day and you are rolling here in the ground in so much of ecstasy. What is your problem? So much of joy, tell me, share with me. He said, actually thing is that I don't have arms. And I have a disease in which I get lot of scratching on my back. So what to do, you know, why to keep on crying? I just keep on rolling on the ground and laughing and showing people that I'm so happy. And that while that rolling on the ground, I get that scratching feeling on my back. So here is a person who doesn't have hands, but still he is, you know, singing nice songs and kirtans and bhajans and rolling on the ground just to satisfy that itchy sensation which is there on his body because he cannot even eat. And then this fellow who is about to jump, he said, I have my two hands. Yeah, I have so many things. So that is the beauty of developing positive attitude. So then when we have this positive attitude, then we tolerate the small inconveniences which are there. One story which Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had told when he was here. He had told a story of a merchant who was whose ship broke while passing through the ocean, and this merchant reaches an island just to realize that he is alone on that whole island. And then he somehow builds a hut and starts sustaining on the fruits and roots. And one day he had gone to the jungle to get fruits and roots. He comes back and he sees that a lightning had fallen on the boat, on the hut, and the hut was burning. And then he loses it. You know, we also have a break point where we tolerate in our devotional service, and then one day we come and blast before God. God, what are you doing in my life? So he just starts looking at the sky and he starts shouting and hurling abuses to God that, what are you doing? I am alone here, and then I lost all my wealth. I am here, I am away from my family, and I build a hut. And you send a lightning exactly pointed at my hut. You could have, there was so much place on the island where you could have, and that too on my hut. And then there is a voice that, did you call us? He thought whether God is conversing. And then he looks that a ship captain is standing next to him. He said, did you call us? I said, no. No, because we saw fire. That is the naval language, that whenever a fire is, whenever you are alone on an island, you set some fire so some ship can see that fire and come to rescue you. And then he again looks up and thanks God. He said, thank you actually. Now I realize that why this lightning was exactly pointed towards my hut. I am so thank you. You know, so we don't realize that these inconveniences which we are going through, actually God is planning something nice for us. A devotee has to tolerate so many things. Like on the level of mind, he has to tolerate all the pulls of the mind. The mind keeps on pulling us always. On the level of body, so many diseases, so much inconvenience. Heat for last 1 month. All of us, what we are experiencing in Mumbai, we go out and after our, we have 3-4 almost baths of sweat itself while we are out. And we just want to, you know, be in an air-conditioned room always. Of course, this is a facility by our temple so that devotees can hear peacefully. But otherwise, we see that this air conditioning, which is immediately switched off now after our program is over, and more natural air we have, it's good for our lungs, good for our liver. Living continuously in an air-conditioned atmosphere is not advisable. What people do in the West is they live in an air-conditioned house, then they sit in an air-conditioned car, and then they go in an air-conditioned office. Hardly any contact with natural air. So we said that some souls are conditioned and some are air conditioned. You know. Then we have to tolerate the society, the spiritual ups and downs. In the society also, when we are living in the society, we have to tolerate so many things. Like for example, the social events which are going around. There is a cricket match. There is a football match. Now, a devotee cannot isolate himself. So we don't expect that a devotee goes there and does cheering or participates. But he has to tolerate. He cannot shout from his window saying that, oh, you stupid people, stop playing this football and cricket and stop wasting your life, human life. Why don't you chant Hare Krishna and be happy? When we shout like this from our window, they will say, we are very happy. Why are you distressed so much? So we have to be tolerant in such cases. We see on the day of Janmashtami all this dahi-handi and going on, and during Ganesh festival people are dancing on movie song. We have to respect their faith. Whatever small faith they have in Lord Ganesh, in Lord Krishna, in Mother Durga, we have to respect. Because Lord Krishna says that I respect their faith. And slowly, slowly bless them with devotional service unto me. Today we are sitting here in the Hare Krishna temple does not mean that we are born great and we are great than all the souls which are there outside the temple. No. Maybe in our past life we also must have danced in front of Ganpati and in the Durga festival, doing Dandiya and all such things. And somehow with our whatever small devotion we had to Mother Durga and Lord Krishna's in the Dahi-handi festival, by Krishna's grace we have reached here. So we should never look down upon the people in general who are not devotees. We have to understand that yes, they have some faith, and instead of shouting at them, we have to tolerate them, and we should see to it that we bless them with Krishna consciousness. We have to tolerate our non-devotee relatives. This is one more factor. Like once while I was doing some aarti at home, I had taken 3 agarbattis. And one of my relative came, he said, no, 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 don't take 3. He said, teen tigad, kaam bigad. He said, take 2. Actually, now I do Mangal Aarti here many times in the temple on 2 months in the year on Fridays. And we are trained by all the brahmacharis on how many agarbattis and this. And so we know all this. And he came up to me, he said, no, no 3, only 2. So I just peacefully removed 1. And with the 2 I did. Because there if I had fought with him, there is no point. If I would have fought with him that you don't know anything, I worship in the Hare Krishna temple. So we have to tolerate. Even their misconceptions, whatever it is, I dealt with him very nicely. Slowly, slowly he became friends with me. And, you know, he now visits Hare Krishna temple. we have to tolerate our government. When I say this, the taxes which are laid up, of course we are expecting a lot of change from the new government in the center, but state government is still there. So I'll talk about the story first. There was one man who was doing some magic in a street, and what he used to do is to take one orange and he used to put it between his two hands and crush it and get all the juice out. And then he used to challenge that, is there anybody in the audience? Now he was like a hefty fellow. Who can take out a drop of juice from this orange? So one skinny fellow comes, he said, give it to me. And he takes out one more glass of juice from me. He said, oh, I have done this show in all over the India. Nobody has done this. And how come you... Who are you? Are you a magician? He said, no, I am an income tax officer. This is how our government... Now the reason I am telling you this, I pay 25,000 rupees income tax every month. That is cut from my salary. Over and above that, whenever I'm traveling, I have to pay tolls. I just feel like showing them my salary slip. Is that not enough that 25,000 from my salary is cut every month, and over and above you are asking again for 40 rupees, 30 rupees, 20 rupees when am I going from here to there? Once one female was traveling with her small son, and she had this 5 rupees coin. This golden 5 rupees coins were there. So the son was playing with the coin. And he gulped it. And immediately she started saying, doctor, doctor, is there any doctor in the bus? Is there any doctor in the bus? And then one fellow said, oh, he did some manure in the stomach and somehow the coin came up from. She said, thank you, doctor. He said, I'm not a doctor. Again, I'm an income tax officer. He can take out... Again, we have to tolerate all such nonsense which goes on in the society. Because if we get disturbed by all this, like for example, I start from Mira Road thinking that today I will not pay the toll at Dahisar when I go for the Sunday feast. And then I go there and I fight with these toll people for 30 rupees and this, and then say kar baju me lo, and then police comes and this and that, and in the evening I go back from Dahisar itself. I don't reach only the temple. So sometimes we have to tolerate all this nonsense the whole system is doing. Because sometimes what happens is the angry young man within us, you know, awakens. And we start feeling like putting fire to all the toll booths and, you know, protesting against whatever is going wrong in the society. I also used to get frustrated with all this. So once I asked His Grace Adi Keshav Prabhu that, Prabhuji, so many things go wrong in the society. How much a devotee should protest against it? And he gave a very nice answer. He said, a devotee should not indulge in the wrong things going in the society unless it is affecting your devotional service, your preaching, your chanting, till that point. Because wrong things, there are so many. If you go after rectifying all that, your whole life is not enough. And this will always be there. So unless that wrong thing is encroaching upon our devotional service, we should just tolerate. Because there is no point, because we will not be able to execute devotional service. So sometimes going to the depth of Tarorewa Sahishnuna, I just feel that to chant peacefully, we should just ignore some things. I'll just finish within 5 minutes with this first verse, and maybe that na dhanam na janam can be dropped off at some later date maybe. So for the renounced order, we said that what the brahmachari has to tolerate. The first thing a brahmachari has to tolerate is us, all of us. We talk about a grihastha family which is of 6, 7, 8 members. Here the brahmachari family which stays here in the temple is of 100. 100 people stay, and when in the night when all of us go home, they sleep here. Then there are different alarms ringing at different times. So don't think that there is not on there. Food, we have brahmacharis from Punjab, Sindh, Gujarat, Maratha, right up to South India, all types of brahmacharis. So the food liking, sometimes there is South Indian food, sometimes there is a Punjabi food. So for a renounced order also, because their life is so much regularized and dependent upon the whole management, they have to, you know, learn to whatever is coming by the grace of the Lord. Whether they like, sometimes they like, sometimes don't like. That is for the renounced order. Grihasthas go and tell their problem to the brahmacharis. Teenager boys, they have left the world and come here. But then teenager boys go and they tell the problems they are facing with their girlfriends and boyfriends and whatever. And even the old people, they come and they tell. So actually, although you just cannot run away from the problems of the world. So they have to patiently hear, give solutions. For a vanaprastha, he has to tolerate because his body has become old. So all the diseases. For a sannyasi, he has to tolerate his disciples. So many disciples having so many problems. Moment here we see that any sannyasi comes and he says, are there any questions? So immediately at least 10-15 hands go up. They are the ones who have capability of asking questions. Actually everybody has lot of questions and problems. So for every ashram, they have to practice this principle of tolerance for sustenance. Amanena manadena. If somebody is not giving us any respect, still we should offer respect in return. This especially for the renounced order, because in the temple everybody respects them so much. Or even the senior devotee here is respected so much. The moment we go out, the taxiwala may shout at us, may not give that respect. I'll talk about this last story and then I'll end here. There was an auction of a parrot going on. That is, parrot stories are one of my favorite stories. Now this is one more additional story. And he was talking about this parrot can speak, and then he started with 100 rupees. And then one fellow, he raised his hand, he said 500. And immediately there was sound from somewhere, 1,000. So this man was shocked, 1,000 for a parrot? He said, okay, 2,000. Immediately he said, 3,000. So he said, 4,000. Immediately there was 5,000. So he said, okay, I said 5,001. Then he takes the parrot. He said, I bought you for 5,000 rupees. He said, can you actually speak? What this fellow was claiming, that you are a speaking parrot. How do I believe that you can speak? He said, who do you think was increasing the value? So from the cage only he was shouting, 3,000, 5,000. So this is how the people of this world are. They always try to increase their value. They are just trying to increase their value. You must have heard this again and again. Do you know who I am? Tumko malum hai main kaun hai? Actually, all of us know that you are eternal soul, but then we cannot say that. So thing is, in this material world, there is this concept of amanena manadena is not there. That you offer respects, although, and expect none in return. And that is what the tapasya in Krishna consciousness is. That expecting no respect in return. You know, many times we hear of stories where I said hello to him or her, and he and she didn't even look at me. Forget about, at least he should have looked and said like this, nothing, just passed by. I just said hello, hi. You know, so much ammane namanadan, we have to follow this principle. And this last anecdote I'll tell from my personal experience. I had one student, female student, and what happens is, when I am a first MBBS teacher, so when they are in first MBBS, they are wishing us, because I am a first year teacher, and moment they pass and they go to second year, third year, senior and become interns, they don't even acknowledge us. They like pass through us while we are standing in the corridor. We feel whether we exist or don't exist. You know, we sometimes see those ghost movies where the ghost is standing and people are passing. So the students, when they become senior, they pass through us. So this particular student, you know, at least others used to wish at some times. This girl, she never used to wish me. Never. She used to go like this. So once she was standing near the canteen, so I said, good morning. And everybody was looking at me, doing good morning to her, and she kept on looking like this. And it was such an insult for me, then I went. And this happened 2-3 times. And at the end of the course, because I am the warden of the hostel, everybody has to come to take my signature on the no dues form. So this girl came. So I told her that, please have a seat. I want to talk to you. I said, after you passed your first MBBS, you never wished me actually. And 2-3 times in front of canteen, I said, good morning, good evening to you. So then what she said, it's, sir, actually, after I passed my first MBBS, and during the vacation, I developed optic nerve disease, a disease of eye, because of which I cannot see anything beyond 2 feet. And then I realized what a fool I was, who was getting disturbed because this girl is not wishing me, this student. And feeling that I am getting insulted, even when I wave my hand, still she cannot realize. So unnecessarily we get disturbed when that's the person may have his or her own problem. And when so much of disturbance is there, if we are not ready to offer respects to other when they don't offer to us, if we are not tolerant like a tree, if we are not humble than a blade of grass, then how we can chant? How can we be Kirtaniya Sadahari? So if we want to become Kirtaniya Sadahari, we have to follow this principle of remaining humble, showing extreme tolerance and offering respects to everyone, and expect none in return. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.